not only advance research by like the questions we're asking now, but to advance it by preparing the next generation that is going to be carrying this on, you know, after us. So it's really exciting. I think there's so many opportunities to remove barriers to the work we do thanks to an organization like this.
Fellow Homo sapiens, welcome back to Epilepsy Svelte Insights. So we have some amazing, relatively junior pediatric epileptologists and researchers who can have brilliant ideas for epilepsy research that could improve the lives of their patients and their families. But, and there is a big but, if you don't know the right people, that idea and that motivation can kind of fall into the abyss. This is where the Pediatric Epilepsy Research Consortium, or the PERC, comes in. Now, onto our start of the week, epileptologist and boss or president of the PERC, Scott Perry.
I am a pediatric epileptologist here in Fort Worth, Texas at Cook Children's Medical Center.
Mm-hmm. And what, tell us about your new project. Well, it's kind of a new project, but not a new project. You've got a bit of a rebranding going on. Tell us about this.
Yeah, I'm fortunate right now to serve as the president of the Pediatric Epilepsy Research Consortium, which, as you said, is not a new thing, but has recently become its own independent nonprofit and is really starting the path to achieving the mission we thought of a decade ago when this organization was first formed. About 10 years ago, there's a bunch of epileptologists hanging out at a meeting who were like, you know, there's got to be a better way to do research. Like, I mean, why can't we just all like be in a group together, work together, help each other out? And that kind of started the Pediatric Epilepsy Research Consortium. And it kind of grew as a volunteer effort over a decade. And we got to a point where we're like, you know, it's time to grow up and move on. Like, we've got to become a nonprofit and we've got to like take it to the next level.
And how many of you are part of this consortium?
So right now we have 75 U.S. pediatric epilepsy centers. And within those 75 institutions, there's probably 350 to 400 individual members. Those members range from, you know, epileptologists, neuropsychologists, people just involved in the research space, you know, like research coordinators, nurses. We have PhDs. So lots of people are involved in the organization.
And so what is the, this is kind of like a basic question, I suppose, but what is the mission of your organization? Why do you even exist?
The mission's frankly is kind of basic. It is to provide the infrastructure for collegial practice changing research, which sounds like, well, yeah, I mean, duh, why do you need an organization for that? But I mean, really, to have a gathering place for all of these epileptologists to come together and know that they've got the ability to connect and work together. Like, no one has to, it takes down that barrier of like, you want to do a project and now you got to try to figure out, well, who are the people that are interested in what I'm interested in? And I don't know them, so how do I get introduced to them to like put it together, right? We have 13 special interest groups, which range from, you know, things like Lennox-Gastaut syndrome, epilepsy surgery, behavioral health, health equity. I mean, there's a number of different groups, and you join those groups because that's an area of interest for you. And then, you know, when a project comes up, it's really presented to the organization as a whole and says, "This, here's something we're going to do. What institutions, what investigators want to get involved with this?" And you know, it's like, you know, it's like plug and play. We're like building collaboration so quickly that way.
And it sounds like for the members, that makes things a little bit less stressful, potentially more fun, easier to get things together, and potentially, well, that, I guess that could make it quicker to get things going, right?
It absolutely speeds up the process. One of my projects that I did there was the epilepsy surgery database, where we collect data on, you know, all patients who are being referred for epilepsy surgery. And, you know, in 5 years, we've got almost 3,500 patients in that database. Like, for any, you know, one institution to have collected 3,500 patients that underwent epilepsy surgery evaluation would take a long time, right? We were able to do that. We have 27 sites that participate in that project. I think the other thing that's great about like PERC is for the young investigator, for the new person out of training, right? because you may be at one institution where maybe you have a faculty of, you know, maybe four or five, and there are four or five great faculty. But as a member of PERC, you can get exposure and mentorship from faculty all over the country. So it really opens up your opportunity to work with lots of different people who have lots of different approaches to epilepsy, have lots of different ideas.
Because it's all too easy to sort of, especially in academia, to get kind of stuck in a corner, isn't it? With just a certain number of people around you that you've kind of grown up with. So to be exposed to different ideas, different collaborations, you know, just different insight. I even had a neurosurgeon in training contact me the other day. He said, Tori, are you going to this? Because I just need some more ideas. It's just so important, isn't it? Just different perspectives.
It is. It's a different perspectives and it's different opportunities, you know? I mean, like, when I'm planning agendas for meetings, right, I'm thinking of like who in PERC would be great to speak on this maybe, you know, and who's a young person that is in there that needs that opportunity where they might not have gotten that from, you know, somebody maybe at their own institution. Maybe they wouldn't get it because the opportunity wasn't there. So it offers a lot of opportunities to not only advance research by like the questions we're asking now, but to advance it by preparing the next generation that is going to be carrying this on, you know, after us. So it's really exciting. I think there's so many opportunities to remove barriers to the work we do thanks to an organization like this.
The removing barriers thing that you just said reminds me of sometimes how we talk about things for people with epilepsy. We want to remove the barriers in society, you know, that are holding people back. And so I guess we're doing it both sides of the coin, which is really important.
One of the things I think about that, you know, I hope we get to a point of, for instance, like I do a lot of genetic epilepsy, right? So I do a lot of genetic epilepsy trials, and we're dealing with very rare diseases. Well, and a company wants to develop a therapy like that, and they're going to go and they've got to get, you know, some research organization to go find for them where are the sites that can carry out this study? Where is it feasible to have it carried out? And so, you know, they send out their feasibility questionnaires. People say, oh, yes, I've got X number of patients, I think, whatever, you know, that maybe you should do it here. I mean, wouldn't it be great if you could come to an organization like ours and say, I want to study, you know, whatever, I want to study GRIN2A. And we said, okay, well, according to our database, the GRIN2A patients are located in these areas of the United States, and the majority of them are around these centers. And we already have a collaboration with these centers, so we know how they'll carry out their research. And so these are going to be the sites we're going to do it. And that would speed up the process so much to like getting the trial up, running, and then making it successful because we know where the people are.
And so this benefits pharma companies, investment companies, and it benefits people and families with epilepsy. Maybe not initially, but it makes things happen so we can see like the next generation of people and families having a better quality of life.
Yes, absolutely. I think everyone within the epilepsy community benefits from working together. I mean, surely I don't have to convince people of that, right? So like the ability to get these institutions to work together, I don't think that can be understated how important that is, because many times institutions are very concerned about making sure they are the best. And PERC is more about making sure we are the best, meaning whoever wants to do research in pediatric epilepsy, let's make sure we are successful.
And I love that because it's kind of like putting the old-fashioned sort of la-di-da potential ego to one side and just like, let's collaborate and work to help the people we really want to help rather than thinking about image of an organization.
You know, some places have everything, you know, they've got everything they could need to do very effective research, but then the much smaller institution doesn't have that kind of support. So how can we share that? Again, example, the surgery project that I do, I'm fortunate that my institution provides me with a biostatistician to help with what I do. But if I have other members of my group that have their own projects that they want to do, my biostatistician can help them, you know, carry out those projects. So we just share the resources as much as we can, you know, and ultimately what I hope is that PERC gets to a point where PERC is who is providing those resources, you know, that PERC has a biostatistician and project coordinators and, you know, maybe folks to help with grant writing, you know, I don't know, things like that to help all of the institutions be able to do their work.
So you're based in the US at the moment, but is there a firm sort of iron frame around the US, or do you see potentially in the future there may be a couple of little fingers going out to work with other countries?
I think the organization as a whole may remain a U.S. organization as PERC, but I don't see a reason, and I'm speaking for myself here, I don't see a reason why there would not be opportunities to collaborate, right? There's no reason why protocols that are being carried out within PERC can't be carried out within another collaborative organization that then the data can be shared, paired together to reach our goal. I see no reason for that. I certainly would not shut the door on the possibility that there would be members outside the U.S. in the organization. I just think we're probably too early to decide that. We got to get our feet off the ground here to begin with. But I think in the end, with the underlying theme being, you know, collaboration is key, to collaborate only within the U.S. is foolish. So we would need to collaborate outside.
And especially because we have different populations, groups of people around the world. They might not be in parts of the U.S. They could be, say, in Finland, in the U.K., in Colombia, in Kenya, whatever, right?
Different populations, different resources. You know, one of the areas I'm, you know, we're interested is really comparative effectiveness of lots of therapies. You know, I mean, I'm fortunate again, you know, here I have all the tools I could want to do epilepsy surgery, but not every place has all those tools. Mm-hmm. Does that mean they don't do epilepsy surgery as well? Are they not as successful? Do they have worse outcomes? Or maybe it doesn't matter. I don't know. Like, how do we know? We've never compared the different, you know, approaches to do something like that.
And so just tell us a quick little sort of, this is going to sound shallow, about your really cool new logo.
Yeah, well, it was, you know, we thought kind of coming out of the gate as a new nonprofit, we really needed to just really start fresh, rebrand completely. And we wanted a logo that was recognizable, that it was within the epilepsy space. We wanted it to be quite clean. We wanted it to be colorful and really represent collaboration. So I'm wearing, of course, the black and white version, but, you know, it's got the clear EEG waveform that goes into the P. The P interrupts that waveform, right? That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to interrupt that spike, interrupt that epilepsy. And the color one is more of a rainbow coloration, starting with purple, of course. And then working its way across. So, you know, we really, I know that's like a small kind of, you know, little step in the whole thing, but I do think it's important that we're clear about that image and recognizable as we go about our work.
If they want to learn more, should they just check out the website?
The easiest place would be to go to the website for sure. That's pediatricerc.com. Would be a good place to go. Of course, you can find us on social. We have an Instagram page, we've got a LinkedIn account, and we've got an X or Twitter account as well. So you can find us in all those places and get the latest updates on what we're doing and where we want to head.
Thank you to Scott for telling us all about the PERC, its swish new branding, but rather more importantly, how junior clinicians and researchers who want to really get going with their career can reach out for a mentor to join special interest groups, have assistance with the patient recruitment for studies, and basically improve the lives of children with an epilepsy. See you next time.